SBS Radio.
Jaden Huynh has defied the odds every step of the way in his life. His mum says not long after he was born, her son suffered a massive bleed to the brain.
And he was rushed downstairs into the special care unit. And then they were starting to take photos of him, you know, and they said, just hold your baby, and he's not going to make it tonight. And they said, if we save him, he'll be a vegetable state. He will not walk or talk. It's better you let him go. I just thought, no, I can't.
When Jaden was 7, he was diagnosed with autism. And as is often the case for autistic people, there were more assumptions. This time that Jaden still wouldn't be able to do things that so many others do routinely. He was in and out of hospital with illness, and his mother had to fight for the right supports for Jaden to succeed in school.
I pushed for him to be able to get assistive technology at school, and that was the laptop. So he was allowed to use the laptop to type long responses in English, and that basically saw him going from, you know, a student who could not write to a student who actually wrote pages full of, you know, amazing ideas and thoughts.
Last year, Jaden finished high school with marks in the top 8% of New South Wales, and that has now been recognised with an award.
I think you will all agree with me that Jaden is a worthy recipient of this prize, and I ask him to come forward and accept his award from the Minister.
The prize is the Brother John Taylor Memorial Prize for academic achievement in the face of adversity. The award was established in memory of Brother John Taylor, who made a significant contribution to education in New South Wales. The State Minister for Education is Sarah Mitchell.
I think for any student to complete the HSE is a really big deal, but to do it in Jaden's circumstances with the health concerns that he has had over the many years of his life, it's just incredibly heartwarming. And not only has he excelled in the classroom, he's done an awful lot for charity and fundraising as well.
Jaden has now earned a place at university, studying engineering. He has high hopes for his future.
So since then, it was that kind of like drive for learning as much as I can about motorsports, or about like race car dynamics and driving and all that stuff. And then now finally I've gone into UNSW to study mechanical engineering. So that's where I'm hoping I can find a role in the automotive industry.
But for every feel-good story like Jaden's, advocates say there are so many more where autistic and other disabled students are not supported. The group Children and Young People with Disability Australia recently released a report detailing how many disabled youths had been left behind at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. Curriculum modifications decreased, as did behavioural and social supports. And once young people are out of school and into the workforce, the challenges don't stop there. The Disability Role Commission has heard evidence that disabled people face an increased risk of neglect and abuse, especially in supported work environments. Christine McAlpine is the head of Inclusion Australia. She says there are many issues relating to the employment of people with a disability, among them their low rate of employment in any job, something the NDIS, a program designed to offer support for community participation, is still grappling with.
The NDIS quite admirably is saying that it's looking for high employment rates of people with disability, but those statistics have been propped up by the 20,000 odd people who were in an ADE, and that's been called paid employment. So there's no, except in their deep dive where there is a bit more data, but in the standard data that's provided by the NDIA, there is no delineation made whether a person is in open employment or sheltered employment, whether people are earning a wage that actually gives them independence or just $2.54 an hour.
For Ms. McAlpine, supported workplaces, sometimes called sheltered workshops, can also be places where disabled people are not safe.
What they do is provide settings where support workers can exploit people, where people can be, experience violence and abuse, and that it's just hidden. People are routinely not listened to, they're routinely not taken seriously, and then when they are, no action is taken.
There are also constant low expectations of and for people with disability, with constant demands for them to be realistic.
What's happened is that culture of expectation hasn't changed. This expectation that people with disability, including people with intellectual disability, can do far more, and that you don't have to just be realistic that they won't be able to read or won't be able to work or anything like that.
For Jaden and his mother, independence and choice and fighting constant low expectations has been their mantra for some years.
I think once again that really disappointed me a lot with their lack of faith in, you know, the how the human body can be and just the lack of understanding, you know, of, you know, people with autism, they can still succeed, they can still achieve their dreams.
Deborah Grog, SBS News.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.